What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
Is the Pope the Antichrist? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. I'm George Samietz, pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon, in the county of Suffolk, England. I am recording this a day after the announcement that the cardinals of the Roman Catholic Church have elected a new pope, and so the 266th Bishop of Rome is Francis. There is much joy in the Roman Catholic Church in anticipation of good things to come, and there is interest. And maybe much interest is because this is a new pontificate, come about in new circumstances, as the previous pope, Benedict XVI, took the unexpected step of resigning. And the world too is watching. After all, Roman Catholics number about 1.2 billion adherents, and the media just loves news on such a scale. Already in these 24 hours, the media has reported Francis's humility and humour, and he has challenged the Church, it seems, with such comments as, and I quote, "If we do not confess to Christ, what would we be? We would end up a compassionate NGO. What would happen would be like when children make sandcastles, and then it all falls down." These words warm my Lutheran ears, especially if you consider last week's straight answer about whether the Church is relevant today, which you can still listen to as a podcast on Lutheran Radio UK's webpage. So my question this week seems particularly insensitive, maybe arrogant, and definitely churlish. To which I sigh and say, welcome to church history and church division. Is the Pope the Antichrist? This question comes about because in the confessional writings of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, compiled in the Book of Concord, there is a document written in 1537 entitled Treatise on the Power and Primacy of the Pope, which begins as follows. "The Roman bishop arrogates to himself the claim that he is, by divine right, above all bishops and pastors." Then he adds that, by divine right, he possesses both swords, that is, the authority to bestow and transfer kingdoms. Finally, he declares that it is necessary for salvation to believe these things, and for such reasons, the Bishop of Rome calls himself the Vicar of Christ on earth. These three articles we acknowledge and hold to be false, impious, tyrannical, and injurious to the Church. So in the tensions and fights of the 16th century Reformation, the Lutherans rejected the supreme authority of the Pope over the Church and over the state, and its claim to be able, as the Vicar of Christ, to announce new doctrines. The treatise sets out to defend this view using scripture, history, and refuting the scripture used by Roman Catholics that support their view of the Pope. And this culminates in the Lutheran argument and position that the marks of the Antichrist, quote, coincide with those of the Pope's kingdom and his followers, end of quote. Believing themselves to be living in the last times, the Lutherans saw in the papacy the marks of the Antichrist as recorded in various New Testament passages, such as 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, 1 and 2 John, and the book of Revelation, because the papacy rejected the teaching of justification of the sinner by grace through faith, introduced so much man-made activities and focus in place of Christ, the cult of the saints, for example, and in the bold claim that the papacy is right and not wrong, and everyone must conform to it. When we are in disagreement with others, when fights and tensions arise, we can be quick to, it is easy to, demonize our opposition, paint the enemy in as dark a color as possible. So for church people squabbling and fighting in the environment of the 16th century, it is understandable that each side called the other evil in some way. What really solidified the battle lines, sets up the trenches, is when both sides wrote down their attacks against the other in such a way that the next generation and the next also held to these views. Both the Lutherans and the Roman Catholics used their own structures, confessional writings, and council decrees to consolidate their respective views against the other, and the language church-wise is strong, condemning on both sides. I'm sure the documents of theologians quickly lose their finesse and precision to become popularism, jingoist maybe. Luther destroyed the church. The Pope is the Antichrist. Your church is full of human things that block out Christ. Your church has left the true church and is heretical. You're evil. No, you're evil. You're going to hell. No, you are, etc. I don't wish to trivialize all the wars, literal as well as literary, but the church scene post-Reformation has for centuries been marked by friction and conflict and dissent, not least between Catholics and Protestants. This point of view assumes that things stay the same, the trenches don't move, the words mean the same hundreds of years later. But since the middle of the last century, World War II onwards and Vatican II in the 1960s in particular, both sides have begun to talk with each other rather than at each other, and one wonders whether the questions asked back in the 16th century would get the same answer in the 21st century. Is the Pope the Antichrist? No. He never was. The question itself is part of the battle lines. Even in the 16th century, the Lutheran reformers were clear that they were targeting the papacy, not the individual men in office. It might have been easier to target the man, so that when the man changes, a review might be possible. When you make structural criticisms, it is, of course, much more difficult to determine whether change occurs if the structure still exists. Does the papacy exhibit the marks of the Antichrist? Now that is the question. After all these centuries, I think I could summarize the Lutheran view, and please remember that Lutherans are not one organization like the Roman Catholic Church, but we are of one confession, as presented in the Book of Concord, as saying that we object to the papacy as it gets in the way of Jesus, blocks him from view, takes upon itself the glory and honour that should go directly to Jesus. But if the papacy, as all ministry should be, is transparent, so to speak, so that people can come and meet Jesus, see Jesus and his gracious gospel, then do the old judgments still apply? What do you think? Whatever your answer, Lutheran churches around the world have given, and are giving, a variety of answers. History gets longer and can't be changed, but each day brings new possibilities, new circumstances, which add to our history and our learning. So in centuries past, Lutherans and Roman Catholics, if they talked, were simply antagonistic towards each other, reliving the old trench war and claiming the other was very wrong. Now, and for the last decades and maybe longer in some countries, Roman Catholics and Lutherans have established dialogue groups to listen to each other and to learn from each other, and where possible to express agreement and convergence and articulate difference and disagreements as areas for further discussion. These discussions are not uniform around the world and produce a variety of documents and responses. Probably the most noteworthy discussion in recent decades culminated in Augsburg in 1999 when the churches of the Lutheran World Federation and the Roman Catholic Church signed the Joint Declaration of the Doctrine of Justification. This marked a step towards a mutual understanding of the doctrine by which the Church stands or falls, and an acknowledgement that words said against each other in the past need not shape words said today to each other. But please note that not all Lutherans signed this document. Not all Lutherans agree. We don't have the organizational structure for one global voice, as the Roman Catholics do. My observation of the world scene, and I don't have 20/20 vision, and all the Lutheran churches don't contact me for my straight answers, is that all Lutherans today recognize that there is a vast difference between the 16th century and the 21st century in terms of church relations among Christian denominations. For the better. But there will still be disagreements as to whether the papacy has structurally changed enough. If we were to conduct the assessment today, with no historical influence, whether the papacy shows marks of the Antichrist, my guess is that we would still comment on and want to see more gospel clarity, of words and practice. But maybe the strident language of heretic and Antichrist would be muted. But we can't. We can't turn back the clock. We live in our church structures on both sides, which are built on the foundations of what has gone before. It becomes a matter of interpretation as to how much things change. But if you want to find the marks of Antichrist or heresy, you can. Surely they are in the eyes of the beholder, even as we dialogue together. We dare not forget our past. We should not be locked into our history. We are church, the living body of Christ, in which the Holy Spirit works to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify all Christians and unite them in Christ, and we are committed to this hidden reality that in truth there is only one church, Christ's. All we have to work with are words, and so above all, we must listen carefully, listen clearly, listen hard, and speak the truth in love as we see it while we exist in our different organizations and denominations. We had just heard that a new pope had been elected, but we didn't know whom as we began our midweek Lenten devotional service at Ascension. And when it came to the intercessions, I had no qualms or problems praying for the then unknown to us, Bishop of Rome, that he would follow Jesus, listen to and trust God's word above all else, and serve those around him, even if it is 1.2 billion. Such are the tasks committed to all the followers of Jesus. I wish Francis well. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.